There's a song, a hymn that we're going to sing tomorrow evening, the Christmas Eve service, and it happens to be one of my very, very, very favorite Christmas hymns. And it goes like this. I wonder, as I wander out under the sky, how Jesus, the Savior, did come for to die. For poor, ornery people like you and like I wonder as I wander out under the sky. Powerful. Powerful words. The words were sung by a child named Annie Morgan. She was singing the words in the town square. Her dad was a pastor. Her mom was an evangelist. And in her own way, she was around 10 years old. She was an evangelist too. And she was singing the words, and it is from an Appalachian folk tune. Nobody knows who wrote it, but we know that Annie sang it in Murphy, North Carolina in 1933. There was a person traveling through the town who was a musician who heard that melody and thought, wow, that's powerful. And he made her sing, ask her to sing that over and over and over, and paid her 25 cents every time she sang it. That might not sound like a lot to us. I bet kids would still do it for a quarter. But back then, a gallon of gas was 20 cents. So it gives you an idea. This is the Depression, and her parents were out of money. And as she sang it, he wrote down the notes, and he wrote down those words that I sang to you. And then he added the verses that we're going to sing tomorrow night. It's a treasure out of rural America. And I love that, living in Orange, Massachusetts. Beautiful things come out of rural America. I wonder as I wander out under the sky why Jesus the Savior did come for to die. It's perfect for our Christmas Eve service because we both celebrate the birth of Christ, but we also celebrate communion, which is remembering his death, and it puts them together. Our passage says, as an answer, the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. There's another passage in Scripture that has a similar message, but a little more guidance for us. It's found in the book of Philippians, chapter 2. And it says this, if then there is any encouragement in Christ, any consolation from love, any sharing in the Spirit, any compassion and sympathy, make my joy complete. Be of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and of one mind. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility regard others as better than yourselves. Let each of you look not to your own interests, but to the interests of others. Let the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus. So listen to how this fits what we're talking about. Who, though he was in the form of God, did not regard equality with God as something to be exploited, but emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, being born in human likeness, and being found in human form, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. I wonder, as I wander, why Jesus the Savior did come for to die. What was necessary for the price of our sins to be paid? What was necessary? Blood. Can I say more, Rachel?
He sacrificed the lamb that was the Lord.
Yeah, the unblemished lamb. There was a blood sacrifice. So there had to be a death. And there had to be a death of a perfect, perfect sacrifice. Romans 6:23 says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." The sacrificing of lambs had gone on for centuries. And each year, the Day of Atonement, people would bring those lambs or whatever animal they could afford, and they would choose the best they could. And that was how they were able to be forgiven. An unblemished sacrifice. But here's the thing. To accomplish our reconciliation with God, all that was necessary was the death of Christ. You ever thought about that? All that was necessary was the death of Christ. God's plan is so much bigger than we realize. The gift of Jesus Christ is more than a way to heaven. More than that. Jesus not only paid the price by dying on the cross, he was willing to live with us poor, ornery people. He was willing to live a life of poverty and a life of humility alongside us, the people for whom he would die. Today's candle and our Advent wreath is the candle of love. Today's service is all about the love of Christ, the love of God, how he showed us that love and how we are to show that love to others. Jesus was born to a poor teenage girl, an unwed mother. Mary would have borne the stigma of that pregnancy her entire life. Think about that. She could have been stoned for it. Joseph could have rejected her. Jesus was the child of a carpenter, a handyman. We talked about this once. The carpenter was not what we think of as a carpenter, just building things. The carpenter was the handyman, the Ken. They would have had just a little bit to live on. And Jesus learned to be a carpenter too. He lived in a town about which Nathanael, who was one of the disciples, said, do you remember? Nothing good can come from Nazareth. How'd you like to have that reputation? Wow. And he was homeless. Matthew 8:20, and Jesus said to him, foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. He was homeless. He walked everywhere. No caravans, no camels, no horses. So here's a question. How many unwed mothers do we have here in Orange? A lot. How many poor people? How many homeless? How many challenges with drugs, like your daughter? Yet Jesus chose to be from a town just like ours. Just like ours. I wonder as I wander out under the sky. He came to die for poor, ordinary people like you and like I. Henry Nouwen, who was a wonderful theologian, wrote this: Jesus, the Blessed One, is poor. The poverty of Jesus is much more than an economic or social poverty. Jesus is poor because he freely chose powerlessness over power, vulnerability over defensiveness, dependency over self-sufficiency. Jesus was poor. In the eyes of his world, he was nothing, nothing. Yet he understood something I think we forget sometimes. He carried within himself the power of God. We do too. We may not be from a big city, a wealthy town, a town that doesn't have the challenges that are going on in the schools. Though a lot of towns have problems with schools, to be sure. We have the power of God in us. It's called the Holy Spirit. Jesus chose to serve. He chose to serve. Do you remember the washing of the feet? He chose to put on the clothing that a slave would wear and wash the feet of those disciples. He chose to make his life about serving God, his Father. From the time that he was a child, he made serving God his priority. Do you remember the story of the boy when he's at the temple? From the time he's a child, that was a priority. And he chose to make a difference in people's lives. He healed people. He gave people something to eat. He healed them of demons. He made a difference. And he spoke the truth. And he taught about the kingdom of God. He discipled others. And then ultimately, he chose to die for us. Some of the passages that help us understand why he did what he did. Luke 22:27. For who is greater, the one who is at the table or the one who serves? Is it not the one at the table? But I am among you as one who serves. John 13:34-35. I give you a new commandment, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also should love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. And then John 15, this is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. No one has greater love than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. I do not call you servants any longer, because the servant does not know what the master is doing, but I have called you friends, because I have made known to you everything that I've heard from my Father. Listen carefully. You did not choose me, but I chose you. And I appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. I wonder, as I wander, can we serve others like Jesus did? Can we humble ourselves and serve the poor and the hungry and the homeless? Can we make our lives about serving God as our number one priority? Can we make a difference in other people's lives? And can we speak the truth about God and about Christ without hesitation? That's probably the hardest of all. Can we disciple somebody? We should be. Would we die for our faith? Bless, we've been talking about during this season. B, begin with prayer. L, what is it? E, that's the one you always get. Today, the first S, serve one another. Wow. Today's challenge we can accomplish right now. You don't have to wait to the week ahead. After all, you're going to get another one tomorrow night, because we've got another S coming tomorrow night. And they're going to kind of fit together, because tomorrow night the S stands for share your story. And how appropriate is that on a Christmas Eve, to be sure. So I want to take a moment, and I want you to think about our community. I want you to think about it. And I want you to share needs that you know of in our community. Amy already shared, our schools are in trouble. That's a need. Who's got another one? Yes, Kathy. There's a lot of people who are hungry in the town of Orange, yes. Well,
People that need a place to stay, good. Other things, Judy. A lot of addiction. A lot of addiction in Orange. Yes. Yes, lots of lonely people. Just that list is a lot. It's a lot. Our challenge with Bless is to do something about one of them. Do something. Serve our community. I don't know what that looks like for you. I don't know. But I do know that Jesus came for more than paying the price for our sins. He came to show us how to live and to serve him with our lives. He told us to love one another just as he loved us. Something to think about. How do we show that love? It's Christmas time. It's a time when people are more open to Christ than any other time in the entire year. Bless someone. If you can do it today. If not, in the days to come. Tomorrow night at Christmas Eve, don't worry, I won't call on you. I'm not going to do that. Never did that as a teacher either, because I would have my students sit there going, she's going to call on me. And I didn't. I always let people volunteer. But tomorrow night, we've been doing this now for 4 weeks, this Christmas Bless series. If tomorrow night you feel that you want to share some way that you have lived into that. Now, we've heard some of it already, like Sue shared and Doug last week shared about praying with people. But if you have done something and tomorrow night you'd like to share, I'm going to make time for that. Because tomorrow night, share your story. And that is your story. Your story is not just how you came to be saved, but how you have lived as someone who serves Christ. So think about it between now and then. Again, I'm not going to call on you. I'm just going to give you an opportunity if you'd like to share, share. Okay? We're about loving one another, and we're most of all about loving Christ. That's the gift we give. For him and to him this Christmas. Would you pray with me, please? Lord Jesus, it's so easy, really, to just come to church and go home and do our thing. But Lord, that's not why you came. You came to pay the price for our sins, and for that we are eternally grateful. But Lord, you came to show us how to live. Let us take whatever you put on our hearts this morning with us today. And Lord, help us to have the courage and determination to live a life like you lived. You were one man and you changed the world. Lord, we love you and we do want to serve you. It's in your name we pray. Amen.